All right, let's go. All right, now, you know, I never thought, Cindy, and did you ever think I'd ever feel sorry for the Montreal Canadiens?
Never, ever, but they did to you.
Yeah, come to think of it. Yeah, I never thought of that. But, you know, last Wednesday, they were playing the Tampa, and, you know, Tampa's the best team. They won the Stanley Cup, and they were just playing their hearts out. They were given everything, Montreal Canadiens. I mean, it'd break your heart to watch them. And I just had a feeling. I'm cheering for them because, you know, it's their first game back.
And you're cheering for them, too.
Yeah, I was cheering for them.
Yeah.
You know, it was the first game back, really, with the new general manager. I'm calling him the new general manager. He is the new general manager. Jim Groton, eh?
Yeah, Gordon.
And they played their hearts out. They really did. And a minute to go and something. Corey Perry steered it home. Oh, how about that? We steered it home with his knee to tie it up. I just knew it. They had to go. And then they lose it. Oh, I'm telling you. And that broke their heart. That really did. And I think if they had won that game, they'd have won a few more games. But that really did break their heart. Mm. Anyhow.
And now Toffoli's hurt.
With those stupid gloves. I mean, I look at those gloves and I just shake my head. I can't believe it.
Well, Dad, I look at it like this, and I know maybe Gordon's thinking the same thing. Well, if we miss the playoffs and this year's a write-off, it's a good draft year.
True.
We get into the lottery, and if they get lucky and win the lottery, they get Shane Wright, who's going to be a generational player. So
yeah,
it's you know maybe it's darkest before the dawn. So
I don't think that way. I want to win. I just want to win. And when I saw them lose and I saw them go off, I was kind of choked up because I knew they'd given everything they had. Well,
from a family point of view, I don't feel sorry for them because we lived through what they did to us in Boston. Well, and Mom and I sitting there and them scoring and all that. That's a lot deeper for me.
Well, I'd like to talk about what happened this week. You don't mind if I talk this week. Brady Tkachuk got a hat trick, and 13,000 at the game. That's pretty good.
That was his first hat trick, and then Forsberg, the goalie, got his first shutout.
Can I ask a question there?
Sure.
That's two pretty milestones and all that. Who get the game puck?
I don't know who got that.
Who would get the game puck?
To me, I think the goalie getting the shutout. Brady Tkachuk, I get back to him. He was +3. He had 7 shots, and he led them in. He led both teams in hits. So he's pretty good. Pretty good hockey player. I'm glad to see him do it.
Well, he's earning his new contract.
He's learning. Yeah, yeah. You know, talking about the Leafs.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, and I had to talk about Saturday night. You know, I knew they get up 3-0 in Chicago. You know, game's over. They scored on their power play. Their power play is dynamite. Holy smokes! Who's ever in charge of the power play? Terrific. So, and they fell asleep. And boy, oh boy. And they almost come back and won. And,
well, it was tied with, a minute and a half to go or something.
And it hit the strut and come out front. Camp,
Cup.
I think. Yes.
So you as a coach,
yes.
Like if... What would you do to make your players not fall asleep?
I could tell.
And you know Jerry, if he's in net, he's really fallen asleep back there.
Well, he didn't fall asleep. He tried to put on a show. I would say this third and fourth line boy. Well, I never ever call him third and fourth line, but he kind of knew it.
Yeah, that was another thing too. People don't realize you never labeled your lines.
No,
they were always named after the center. Was it? You'd say
no. I was Rattel, Shepherd, and
yeah. So you would call it by the.
I would never. No coach does either. They say, the big thing is you always say let's go and. And I remember with us, it was a who's up, who's up, who's up. That's all I heard. Who's up, who's up? Well, I wanted certain lines to go against certain lines and some defensemen. And the very first time, and I'm getting carried away here again, is that when overseas and they had Andre Boudreau. I remember I just
couldn't. Yeah, you were coaching Team Canada at, yeah, at the World Tournament in 81.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I just couldn't tell you. Anyhow, they fell asleep. And
well, just to get back to that, what you were saying was that's the first time you had an assistant coach.
Yeah, first time I had.
And you said that you didn't like it because you couldn't get a feel of the defense.
I knew what defense pair was going to go on with a certain line and against a certain line.
Not only, though, do you put on your third and fourth line, even though we didn't call it that.
That's why the Bruins had me. I was cheap. One coach.
Yeah. But you were pretty sarcastic back there, too.
I was telling the guys. Well, I knew. And you know,
because you would talk about the players behind their backs if
well, I was behind their back. They knew I if they were on the ice.
You knew that if they didn't.
They knew that I knew whatever it was, and when they come on the bench, I said, "Oh, big bad Bruins."
As you say, you hated when they'd get a slashing call.
When they get a retaliatory
That's a good word, Dad.
I thought you liked retaliatory, and you know, they never hurt the guy.
Yeah,
you push
just out of frustration.
You
know, whack
you get 2 minutes for slashing and slashing, slashing.
Yeah.
Oh, we're the Boston Bruins. We don't touch us. We're big, big. Yeah, and I just
and the guy knows you're talking about him on the bench.
I don't care if you break his arm, but break his arm. I mean,
I know we're kind of just going all over the place, but the one guy that had a tough time you doing that was Terry O'Reilly. Terry O'Reilly had that Irish temper,
and he had a code of honor, and if you didn't do anything against, he would not. Terry O'Reilly would never do anything to anybody that wasn't hurting somebody on our club. And that's a true story. And
but you would say, like, if he wouldn't cover the point or something.
Oh, you never cover the point. Well, you couldn't get him to cover the point. And sure enough, the puck would go back to the point, and he'd be back in trying to help the defenseman. The defenseman would get the puck and look up, and there's Terry standing beside him.
So then when he comes to the bench,
to the bench, and I'd be on the bench, and I'd be walking up and down. I'd say, whoa, we all cover the points. Oh, yes. We all cover the points, and I must congratulate, you know, but not Terry. No, no. And the goal had just been scored. And boy, and he had an Irish temper, boy. And he was big. He was about 6'3". He had a head on him like a Rocky Ford cantaloupe, as they said. And he was big. And he told me afterwards that when I'd start that there, oh, no, not Terry. Terry doesn't cover the points. The rest of us will, but not Terry. He used to grab the front of his pants. He'd take his gloves off. So he wouldn't come back and choke me to death. Because you couldn't confront him. If you went up and said, why don't you cover the points everybody? And, he would have.
There's no point in yelling at him.
No sense in yelling
at him. You knew how to motivate him in a different way.
Didn't do any good. I think Peter McNabb said it best. He says, Terry gets about 30 goals every year, 20. He says, because the opposing team doesn't know where he's going. We don't know where he's going. He's playing with us. And he'd be all over the place banging and smashing. Boy, he was a beauty. He was like the Boston Bruins.
But sarcasm was big part of your coaching.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it motivated.
And not nice.
Not nice sarcasm.
But it was. They knew it was coming.
When I see it now,
and I see a shot now from the point, or from anywhere, and the guy catch the puck. Jeez, I just
That's what you said. You like how many shots? If you're watching the game, how many shots are right on the logo of the goalie? Yeah. Right square in the breadbasket.
I watched that. Then I watched the guys kicking the guys out of the face off. I mean, the guys. What do you want me to do? I just put the stick down. You're out. And you notice the second time they drop it right away.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to get a pen.
I think I mentioned this before, but I'll still. I mean, I remember one time we were in the gardens sitting there with Mom watching it, and Ricky Middleton, he left his post watching the defense, watching the point. And boy, they scored. And you had the gate open, and you had your hands on your hips. The whole Boston Gardens felt sorry for Ricky Middleton. Then he sat down, and everyone was watching you yammering in his ear. And I can remember, the season ticket holders.
Well, I come from New York,
Pardon me?
He came from New York Rangers, and we traded him.
Yeah. And I remember the guy behind us saying, boy, look at Don giving it to Ricky. And Mom goes, yes, I think he's just taking it a little too far. A little too far.
Someday I'll go into the when we were in Buffalo one time, and he never covered the point. From that game on, anyhow, I want to talk about the Leafs. They, you know, they're playing Chicago, and they got two goals. They got up 3-0. They sort of fell asleep a little. That's what happened. And then Chicago said, "Oh yeah," and Chicago, I thought, played pretty good. They looked pretty good. But,
well, they outshot the Leafs, didn't they?
Yeah, they outshot them. They had 35 shots on them. You know what bothers me about the Leafs, I'll tell you right now, is that they never out-hit the other club. Never do they out-hit the other club. Now, and that's not only at home. That's on the road.
Well, they're into finesse. They can
finesse.
Yeah,
I know. But when I watch the other, the real good clubs, here's what happened. If a real good club plays a team that doesn't hit, they'll hit a little bit. But if they play a team that hits, boy, that's not too many team hits there right now.
So, you just want to maybe talk about Vancouver a bit. There was they got Jim Benning and Travis Green were let go, and Jimmy Rutherford came in, and Bruce Boudreau came in.
Boudreau is the guy that doing it, and I like Rutherford. I really like him and his mom, and we used to kid him all the time about his mom. She's great.
You know what? I'd really like to know what happened with that in Pittsburgh. I think
Benny is the guy that got the shot.
Oh, yeah. Like, of all the, you know.
Give that Peterson all that money.
And he hasn't scored an even strength goal yet. He's got four goals. And, you know, how frustrating, but he comes in and he says, "This is the money I want," and he gives him the money he wants, and he does nothing, and cost him his job. I mean, if he scored, they'd be in the thick of the playoffs, and Quinn Hughes, they gave him the money, but he's got 22 points, and he's a plus player, and you give the other guy, and he's nothing.
And this week, Calgary got beat by Boston, but they're outshot. Or no, they outshot Boston 42-27. Their goalie's not playing well for them, and
With Edmonton. Edmonton's lost four in a row, and the goalie's just not playing good.
No, I get Smith back in there. He's injured right now.
Well, the rumor is that they're looking to trade for a goalie.
Well, they need a goal.
And the rumor was that they're looking for Chicago to get Fleury.
Oh, would Fleury? You'd have to give a first round draft choice for that.
Yeah. Well, he's. I don't think. He's only signed a 1 year contract. Yeah. So it's not like he's on the hook. So, but that's the hot rumor on the internet they're going. They wanted.
And you know what? He's still a great goaltender. I think he's as good as he ever was. And
It must be tough for him to know playing in Chicago. That you're barely going to make the playoffs.
No, they
right? Don't. And, you know, and you're going, but if he went to Edmonton, he'd have a real shot at winning the Stanley Cup.
Too bad they can't make a trade. The only thing is they'd have to give up too much money, too many draft choices and stuff like that. First round for sure. And I don't think they want to.
Well, if I was Edmonton, I mean, how good?
I'd give up the first round.
I would. I mean, how good is Dreisaitl and McDavid playing? You know, this is the year.
I don't know. I can't believe Vegas let him go. They let him go and they let Reeves go. I don't know.
And they haven't been the same.
No, they never. They're not the same club. They dominated before. I have to throw in that my buddy Max Domi got two goals. I hope I put that in. He was plus three.
Yeah, he's having a good season.
Yeah, and one more guy, and then we go and Drew Doughty. He's playing 28 minutes. He had four shots, and I know he'd love to be on that. And he loves that European hockey. Well, it's on. The NHL is almost European hockey right now.
Think he should be on Team Canada?
Yeah, I would take him because he's had experience, and they probably won't.
I don't think the team. I don't think the NHL is going to go.
No,
I just think that there's just too many roadblocks and there's too many things now and
there's too many what ifs.
Well, the Chinese are pretty if you got COVID, you got to isolate for 3 weeks before you can leave and all that.
3 weeks, that's a season.
So there's just a lot of hurdles, but they have to know by January 4th what they're doing.
Tim, I think you brought up a really good point. We were talking before the show on what the alternative is to the NHL going to the playoffs and about the junior team.
I think they should have the World Juniors. Every 4 years, cancel the World.
And it's a good year to be having it, too.
Yeah, cancel the World Juniors. And
every 4 years.
Every 4 years. For 3 years, you have the World Junior Championship.
That's a good
And the
idea.
Fourth year, you have him play in the Olympics.
Actually, if the guy picking, I need to be the guy picking.
I just think it would be a lot more interesting. You wouldn't have, you know, the players' associations involved. You wouldn't have the NHL and the owners, and there's just so many dynamics of the situation.
You'd run into the same thing too.
Well, the CHL wouldn't like it, but you know they would. You know the IOC would give them money. And they'd be happy with that, but because they do it in soccer. Soccer's 20 and under, so
and it'd be such a thrill for those kids to play in the Olympics too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got to be old hat for the NHL
guys. Not old hat.
You don't think so?
No,
I mean, you know, a lot of them been there, done that.
Drew Doughty's doing, and those guys are doing their best. Okay, let's forget about that. We'll talk about that. We got lots of time. Arizona Coyotes. It's very simple. They owe money to the city of Glendale. And
they say it's a clerical error.
Yeah, it's clerical error.
Over a million.
Yeah. Oh, well over a million.
Talk about that when they move.
Yeah.
Where do you think they're going to move, Dad?
Well, I know that if they do move, they're going to they'll move. Or if I was moving, I'd move to Houston.
Really? They don't have enough. Texas doesn't have enough.
Doesn't matter. Cleveland would be good. But they won't move.
Well, the best place to go would be Quebec.
Why won't they go to Quebec?
Won't go to Quebec because they'll get too much money.
It'd be too successful.
Too successful.
Yeah. That's like sarcasm.
Bettman's made the league too successful, and he has. How anybody could ever think of get rid of him? And I don't.
We haven't really talked about that. A lot of people really ripped Gary Bettman. Like, what's your opinion on Gary Bettman?
Well, and I have no axe to grind now because, and here's a guy. I think he took over. I'm just guessing that the average salary is around $400,000 for the players. I hate to think what it is right now. And the franchises were worth. So-and-so, they're worth 10 times they are now. Why would they get rid of him? I mean, he is...
The thing is, two people got, you know, kind of off like topic, but, you know, he saved Edmonton and he saved Calgary. Like, they were...
And he doesn't do anything about fighting.
And they were struggling, and he said nope, and the NHL helped them out. And if it wasn't for Bettman, I don't think Edmonton and Calgary would have a team.
No.
I think Canadians should realize that because I hear a lot of people knock poor Bettman.
Well, they don't. You know, he doesn't realize, or I'm sure he does realize now. The only time I saw him upset was when he goes on the ice, he boos, eh?
That's got to hurt.
But, I mean, after a while, give it a rest. But the only time I really saw him really upset was in L.A. Now, why he was upset in L.A., I guess he's...
Well, you've seen him upset with Ron.
Oh,
remember in Dallas when Ron was walking around with a thermometer or humidifier?
Oh, tell us that story. That was funny, boy.
Yeah, that was a funny one. I was in the studio and I was watching, and I could see what he was saying. And
he was trying.
And they were doing their best. I think it was in Dallas.
It was in Dallas. And the big thing was the ice wasn't that good and the humidity.
And I always said the ice was good because the guy. I forget his name now. He's going to be mad at me. But he used to let us on the ice all the time.
That's right, because not many broadcasters could go on the ice.
No, they let us go. And I'd say the ice is great.
No matter what, the ice is great.
No matter how bad the ice was.
But there was Ron saying how soft the ice was.
But he didn't mean to.
He didn't.
Well, he didn't. So I guess he didn't mean a lot of things. So they had big things pulling the humidity out and all that stuff. And he mentioned, and boy, was Bettman ever mad. And was Bettman ever mad. He says, we got 10 million people listening, and all you can think about, you know, and, you know, so I knew he was really mad, eh?
So you had to fuel the flame.
Yeah, he was just ripping. And he said,
So you went on Coach's Corner.
So I went on Coach's Corner, and I said, you know, Ron, I have to say one thing. I said, here we are, and I said almost the same thing as he said. And he came in after, and he said, thank you, Dawn. He used to call me Dawn. And he said, thank you, Dawn. And he said, the only guy that knows anything that's going on. And McLean is, you dirty rat.
Set him up.
So how do we get into that?
Well, you know, Gary getting a bad rap, and you know, you guys.
Well, we're just
know.
Saying moving a team. Oh, yeah. We hope Gary will move the team to thing, but.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to get in a bad rap, and you don't know. And he said, and they interviewed him over the weekend. And he said, "I'll be around for a long, long time." Today is a big day between Hamilton and Winnipeg, and it should be a dandy. Now, Tim, I'd like you, if a guy wanted to bet on that and just wanted to bet on that club, how does he get in and how does he start? I want you to start right from the start.
For Spreads, so our sponsor, spreads.ca.
How do you spell that now?
Spreads, SPREADS.ca, which means they're a Canadian company. So before I get into that, I'm going to tell you they're doing a new promo for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so if you sign up today, they will match 25% of your deposit. And what you do is you sign up and you got to have like a kitty to bet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
$100 in your kitty, they'll give you $25. They'll match it by 25%. Great. And 25% they're going to donate to the Don Cherry Pet Rescue.
All right.
Can't beat
that. How many dogs? Yeah. Can't beat that, Cindy.
Yeah. So
let's start.
So you go to get to the promo, you go to spreads.ca to sign up.
Now, how do you get to the promo? Like, what do you got here?
So if you're signing up for the first time, they'll ask you for a promo code and you use the word grapes, like your nickname grapes. And it'll take you there, and then you're automatically signed up for the promotion. So if you put $100 in, you get $125 in your kitty, and $25 comes to the Don Cherry Pet Rescue.
Should be happy, Cindy.
And if you're already a member, and you go in at the top of the page, there's the different promos, and you just click the arrow on the promo page, and then you'll find where.
Even I could do that.
Yeah, and then you'll find it, and then again, if you top up your kitty, which I had to do the other day, you get $25 or the 25%, and then give 25%.
It does make a lot of difference.
So it's 25% of what you put in the kitty. It's
right.
Not $25. It's 25%.
So if you put
in $100, you're getting $25, or you know, $200, you're getting $50.
Yeah.
To additional.
And a game does mean a lot more when you got little money on it.
And you know what? You're spending money and for gambling, and then you're also helping, you know, the Pet Rescue Foundation.
Yeah. Well, so, and then if you want, like, and it's, so then what you do is if you want to bet on the game, there's a on the top right corner, it says casino or it says sportsbook. You hit sportsbook, and then on the left-hand side of the screen, you see all the different sports. So you'd see football, and then it has NFL, CFL, then you click on CFL.
All right.
And then it gives you the different lines.
Well, I could even do
and
that.
And then you can do prop
bets.
Well,
I do it, but yeah. I just...
And you can do prop bets. Like last night, I bet on the Leaf game, but I didn't bet on who was going to win. I bet that William Nylander was going to score, which he did. And then I bet Patrick Kane was going to score, which he didn't. But
he should have.
It's funny how you had a breakaway.
He's got a bad hip, eh?
Yeah, and he didn't score, so you could do that.
But I watch him. I don't know why I watch him all the time.
Boy, he's like invisible at times.
Yeah, I mean, when he doesn't feel like playing, you know, when it was 3-0, and then all of a sudden the other. But he's got a bad hip.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so that's how you bet. You can bet prop bets, and it's a Canadian-owned sportsbook and casino.
So you're one-on-one, Nylander?
Yeah, I won. I think you get, it was like a dollar, you bet a dollar, and you get $1.35 back if you scored. So anyway, but you can do all these bets. So like if you go to the CFL, you can bet, you know, the kickoff's going to return for a touchdown, and it's like 150-1 and stuff like that. So,
sounds pretty good to me, and I think I know I've gone in it. And I just wanted to. I've had a few guys to ask me, you know, how to get into it.
Yeah. So no, we want to thank Spreads, and they're a good partner, and they're a great company.
Tim, I'd like to mention that Graham Clapp, Sergeant.
Graham Clapp.
First Special Service Force, and they call it the Devil's Brigade, the Germans call him.
He was 100 years old, and we talked about him, and he sent you a nice Christmas card. And,
not a lovely picture. And
what a picture. He looks like he should have been in the movie Band of Brothers, eh? That's what he looks like.
Good looking.
Because the funny thing is, they wore American uniforms.
Yeah, they have American uniforms on. He's got an American gun.
Yep, so he was part of the Devil's Brigade, and he was
looks kind like of... Looks like a movie star.
He does. Yeah.
And you know what? Graham Clapp, First Special Service Force, the Devil's Brigade, and I sure appreciated it. Well, Tim, we talked about that. We're going to talk about Howie Morenz, and he was called the Babe Ruth of hockey, and I thought that was great. So, maybe I shouldn't say it. Somebody said that to a reporter, and he says, "Wait a minute." He said, "Babe Ruth is the Howie Morenz of baseball." I'm sure he wouldn't say that because he was a humble guy. Howie Morenz, he only lived from he was born in 1902 and he died in 1937. He was born in Mitchell, Ontario, and he played for the Stratford, and they call him the Stratford Streak. And Montreal signed him in 1923. I'm reading this.
Because back then there was no draft. Eh? You just signed as many guys. So you wonder why he didn't sign for Toronto.
Well, at one time, everybody, they had, and went just before I came to the National Hockey League, Quebec, they had everybody that was born in Quebec played for Montreal. Yeah, I didn't know that, eh? The very first year he played with Montreal, they won the Stanley Cup. He had 28 goals the second year, 33 goals the next year, and they won I think he won two cups after that.
Yeah, he was the first player ever to get 50 points in a season.
Is that right?
Yep.
Boy, he was something. 10 years, he was always in the top 10. And he won the cup again in 1930-31. And believe it or not, they traded him to Chicago. I mean, what was in their minds? I guess he said, anyhow, they got some pretty good players. He was number 7, and they never, ever, and the players wouldn't let them, and his sweater hung.
Yeah, Montreal, they retired his number. That was the first number to be retired.
Yeah, they wouldn't let anybody wear that number. And I have to admit, and reading the New York Rangers and Chicago, he was nothing. And manager Cecil Hart, when the Montreal, they made him general manager. He said, "The first thing we're doing is bringing back Howie Morenz." And this is where it really gets sad. He's playing good. He's really playing good. And Earl Siebert, big defenseman, hit him behind the net. And when he hit him behind the net, his skate caught in the boards, you know, Tim.
Yeah, because it was wood back then.
Yeah.
And there was like a little gap in the wood, and his blade went into the wood.
Oh, I thought it was for icing. He was going for an icing.
When he fell, his blade went into the boards because, you know, now it's all plastic. It was wood. And
his leg broke in two places. And
they said you could hear the snap all through the forum.
Yeah. Timmy Horton got hit by Gadsby at center ice. Must talk about that sometime. You can hear the snap all over. Bone snapping off. Anyhow, the bone snapped, and he went into the hospital, and the players always there, always with him all the time and everything. And, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, he didn't die from the injury. He died from a broken heart.
Because the doctor said he couldn't play anymore.
He said, "I'll be back and play," but boy, he really broke it bad. You have an interesting
They said he was such an exciting player that they said a guy from Boston came to watch him in Montreal, and was so excited watching him that his name was Charles Adams. He went back to Boston.
I remember him.
And said to the NHL, "I want to buy a team," and that's how the Bruins were born. And then a guy named Tex Richard was a boxing promoter who owned Madison Square Gardens in New York. And he saw Howie Morenz play and got so excited watching him that he decided to put ice in Madison Square Garden. And under the condition that Howie Morenz opened was the first game. And that was the New York Americans back then. So when he passed away, they said of a broken heart, they had the funeral at the Forum. And his casket was at center ice. And they said 50,000 people.
Yeah, he went through.
He
was really something. And in the write-up it had, the guys, every time he touched the puck, the crowd would stand up and cheer. There was another guy I know that used to be the same way. But Howie Morenz was a great guy, and all the players loved him, and he was never a big timer. Like, he was the big timer, and all the players that he played with always loved him.